Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs, AM 1620 on your dial. Also, I'd like to welcome our international listeners today. We've got folks from Italy, Puerto Rico, New York, and of course, Miami and Atlanta listening into the program today. I am Barbara Giammanco, the Chief Talent Officer of Talent Builders and the host of the program. And each week, my guests and I discuss current business topics and trends. Today, I'm very excited to talk about a very cool methodology called REM Leadership. It's a pure leadership methodology that allows people to map out and, more importantly, execute on their dreams both personally and professionally. Now, remember, if you've missed the broadcast from prior shows, you can find the recordings at www.talentbuildersinc.com. And don't forget that every week you can listen to the program live at radiosandysprings.com. So let's go ahead and get into it. Let me introduce to all of you my guest. Mary Ann McElraith is joining me today, and she is the CEO of Maximum Potential. Mary Ann has extensive human capital management and technology experience. She is the founder of Maximum Potential International, also known as MPI, which she started in 1982. Mary Ann is also the author and copyright owner of RIM, which is Rapid Implementation Methodology, and we'll be talking about that later in the show. With her strength in human capital management, 360 profit and performance, Mary Ann targets the complete executive vision and brings that vision into reality through her experience working with top leaders around the world. She has 20-plus years of experience in technology, human resources, executive and team, and in fact works with entire companies, assisting top executives in building stronger and more empowered organizations, which drives the profit and performance. Mary Ann has a very, very extensive client list. Just a few of the clients she's worked with around the world include IBM, AOL, Disney, PeopleSoft, Toys R Us, Fila, and of course, Tony Robbins. Mary Ann is past president of Women Business Owners. She's a past board member and author for the International Human Resource Information Management, a board member for American Society for Training and Development, and a former vice president of PeopleSoft's user group, just to name a few of the groups that she's been very active with. She's a coach to who's who in the field of human resource and technology, and Mary Ann brings her personal development experience, which enhances the cross-collaboration within organizations. So welcome to the program, Mary Ann.
Oh, Barb, it's my honor to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
It is so great to have you with us here today. So before we jump into REM Leadership, this pure leadership model, tell us about Rapid Implementation Methodology. What is that all about?
REM is a business implementation methodology, and it covers the complete life cycle of the business, from strategic planning to the rapid reengineering, technology and the development of technology implementation, testing, conversion, implementation. The base for the rapid implementation methodology is REM, which we're going to spend a lot of time speaking about, which is the rapid engineered mind.
Now,
leadership.
The rapid engineered mind is what REM is all about.
Correct.
Right. So, Mary Ann, it's very interesting work that you do. How did you actually get started doing this? What inspired you?
You know, I think back to when I was a child, and I kind of believe in destiny. And when I was 17 and my friends were going to concerts, I was listening to Jim Rohn, Dale Carnegie, Norman Vincent Peale, Deming, and that was my passion. I was always curious as what is that fine line that separates the great leaders and the great achievers from the ordinary people, because they're all, everyone's ordinary. It's what we do that's just a fine line. So I've studied that.
And so you got excited about this in high school. So did the other kids think you were just a little bit weird or what?
I think as an entrepreneur, you just have to be a little different, don't you? I think to actually execute your dreams, you have to to be different.
Well, and I think that's great because, you know, we are all unique and have our own individual personalities and styles and our unique gifts that we bring into the world. I think it's fantastic that that you really became inspired by this type of work at an early age. As we've talked about, I did too. I've always been sort of a self-help geek, always looking for ways to improve myself and take myself to the next level. And I see nothing wrong with listening to so many of those out there who have come before for us who have all these positive and great messages to share with us. So I think that's fantastic. Of those people that you've listened to, or even today, do you have any favorites? Who really inspired you the most, do you think?
My creator.
Ah, okay. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in business and your personal life, you know, to do the right thing, that's important. You know, profits are a must in business. Because they drive business.
Mm-hmm.
The core of it, it's people. And that's what we're speaking about, it's people.
Absolutely.
And it's doing the right thing, and it's, you know, making a difference for people and making a difference within companies that can actually change the way we do business and we run our lives.
I think it's great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with bringing a little bit of love and spirit back into the workplace. You know what I mean? I think it's about time that we started igniting a bit of passion and spirit back into business. And so that's why I'm so excited about what you have to share with our listeners today, because that's what we need. I think corporations today need a major jump start in terms of how they're focusing their efforts internally in terms of driving their culture forward, don't you?
You know what? Absolutely right. I mean, human capital and our people are our greatest assets. They're our greatest assets. And if we can bring out the best in people, and if we can take ordinary people and make them extraordinary, they feel good about themselves, which in turn, it all goes back to profit.
It does.
If people are living at maximum potential, they're able to generate higher revenue.
I think you're right. And what I love is that everybody, I believe, brings extraordinary gifts to the workplace and to life. And I think what's great about what you do and what I do and what others do is that, you know, it's really our job to help bring that out and really help people feel more comfortable with really sharing who they truly are, don't you think?
It's important, I think, to, you know, for us to be comfortable in our skin and to take away the masks. And be enjoy of who you are and the gifts that you have. It makes people comfortable to be around. It makes your prospective clients at ease. It makes your clients at ease because they're comfortable to see you. There's no, you know, facade.
I think that's fantastic. So that's actually a great lead-in to talking about what exactly REM, the Rapid Engineered Mind, what is REM leadership all about, Marianne?
It's a methodology. A disciplined process that allows us to take our dreams and put them into reality. We have many different dreams, and there's many ports of our lives. It's not, you know, we have, you know, REM talks about the nine ports of your life. One of them is business.
Mm-hmm.
Several other are your, and if you have a pen, and if the audience has a pen and wants to write this down, it might be a little helpful. Some of the ports of our life are the sphere of influence,
mm-hmm.
our spirituality. We're going way beyond, if I can backtrack here, Maslow. We've learned about Maslow and the basic needs of life in our management days. It's time to step up to another level and expand the ports of our life. So we've got our sphere of influence, our spirituality, our family, our health, both mental and physical, our business and our careers, our financial, our environment, our social, we have to have fun, and then, of course, our community and our contribution. And so what the Rapid Engineered Mind is a process that is broken out into four components. The first component focuses on the leveraging your own personal influence and your strategic mental models. Those items would be things like always managing your state and keeping in peak state, identifying your rules, beliefs, and values, knowing yourself,
mm-hmm.
knowing what your triggers are,
mm-hmm.
consciously knowing that. That's the first port. The second is, once you're aware of that and those triggers and how to manage your state, then let's start doing the second part, which is called the reengineered mind, and how we can be consciously aware now of how other people in our sphere of influencing is influencing us
right.
by triggers. And then the third is the actual sphere of influence, because that really drives a lot of who are they, how do they impact our life, and there's tools that wrap around that. And then the last component is vision, taking your vision, your dreams, plan it out, execute, and critical part, benchmark it.
Right.
So it's a complete cycle.
Fantastic. Well, Marianne, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dig into the four components of REM leadership. Folks, you are listening to the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs and on RadioSandySprings.com. I'm Barb Giamanca with Talent Builders, hosting the program each week, and my guest is Marianne McElraith. She's the CEO of Maximum Potential, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion about REM leadership and what that means to business. So we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs, locally AM 1620 on your dial and streaming live over the Internet at www.radiosandysprings.com. I'm Barbara Giamanco, the Chief Talent Officer with Talent Builders and the host of the weekly program, and today my guest is Marianne McElraith. She is the CEO of Maximum Potential, and we are talking about a methodology that Marianne designed and has worked with companies to implement all across the world. It's a process called REM leadership. So, Marianne, before the break, we talked about the four components of REM leadership, which is, first and foremost, the strategic mental models, really being aware of our rules, our beliefs, our values, even our vocabulary and sort of our perspective on the world. Dig into that a little more deeply and tell us more about what's behind that and why is it so important for people to be aware of that that first component.
Well, it's important for us to be aware of who we are and what drives us. We all want to achieve our dreams. It's important to know our triggers, our rules, our beliefs, and our values, and you know what makes us fearful of certain things,
mm-hmm.
and why, and where did they come from, these rules, beliefs, and values. How do they support us, and how do they drag us down? You know, and how do we need to change that? Then we talk about communication and transformational vocabulary. I believe that the quality of our life, big part of the quality of our life, is the quality of our communications. And it starts with ourselves first.
Can you give an example of, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. Can you give an example to your listeners of sort of one method of communication which perhaps is doesn't really lead you down the path of success versus another type of communication that would really help you be more focused and more successful?
You know what, I think that, you know, when we communicate with people, that we need to be very aware of the things that we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think it starts when you wake up in the morning. You know, what makes one person jump out of bed in the morning and another just rest for a while and not want to get, it's the questions we ask ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We could ask ourselves, what is great about this day? And our mind is like a computer. It'll give us an answer. If we ask ourselves positive questions and then give ourselves positive answers, it'll shape our destiny. If we constantly ask ourselves bad questions, like what's bad about today, our brain is going to give us negative answers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a state of mind, and communications are very powerful. So when we learn to communicate positive with ourselves, it's pretty tough to get depressed.
Well, I totally agree with that. I actually heard a speaker, he's local from Atlanta, Keith Harrell, and he talked a lot about using like really strong, powerful words. And for years I had on my voicemail that, you know, not only not make it a great day, but, you know, thanks for calling and have a super fantastic day. Because it's pretty hard to pump out a word like super fantastic with a frown on your face. And that was really his philosophy, that, you know, positive words and positive actions really set the direction for your day and for your life. And it sounds like you really agree with that.
Absolutely. And it's how we communicate with each other, how we communicate with our clients or our prospective clients.
So kind of the half glass full versus half empty, right?
That's a good point.
Assuming the day is going to be absolutely unbelievably cool and great versus, yeah, it's just another day at the office, right?
There's reasons why things happen.
Absolutely.
And the challenges, one of my favorite mentors, Mark Stavish at AOL, said, it's not how we handle our success, it's how we handle our challenges that will take us to the next level.
I totally agree with that. So then the next step in the process then is this process of the rapid engineering of the mind. So talk a little bit more about that, Marianne.
Well, it capitalizes on the first component, and that's first the awareness of our rules, beliefs, and values and managing our state for peak performance. And then when we're consciously aware and we document this in certain tools that we have, then we have to identify what are the triggers. What are the pain, pleasure triggers? And how can we use them to propel us? Cornell University did a study that said people, 83% of the people, they're motivated more by pain than they are by pleasure.
I guess I'm not surprised given the way our society is sometimes, but that is a little bit surprising that people would be more motivated by pain than pleasure.
And there's a template, and you can create your own. It's called the Rapid Engineered Mind Template, and a time to sit down and reflect where you are today. Where do you want to go tomorrow? How are you going to get there? What are the positive things that are happening in your life today that can help that? And what are the negative things that are happening in your life that need to be put aside so that you can move forward to create your dream?
Right.
And I have a saying I like to give, the rocking chair test at this point, that says when you're sitting in your rocking chair and you're 70, 80, 90, God willing we live this long, and you look back and you say to yourself, I wish I would have. I think we need to ask ourselves that question.
I think so, too.
What would you do if you were looking back?
And then what do you encourage people to make a list of those sorts of things, or what's sort of the next step with that?
I think it's a blueprint. Create a blueprint for each of these ports of your life. Not just one. Create a blueprint for your business. Create a blueprint for your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You want powerful, healthy relationships. You know, it needs time. Just like your health. If you want to have a great body and a healthy body, you're going to take the time to work out your body. That's what REM is propelling and suggesting, that we take each of the 9 ports of our life, create the blueprint, which is the second component here, and monitor it so that we can make the changes that we need to make. You know, changes, you know, organizations have problems. You know, people don't like change. And the reason why is it's the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
People get comfortable. But if we sit down and we map information out and we come from a knowledge base, it's a lot easier for us to take the risk.
Absolutely.
Because we minimize the risk when we come from a knowledge base.
Well, I think that's great. So we're going to take another quick break, Marianne. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the next component of REM, which is really building that circle of influence and then certainly taking that vision, putting a plan in place and using tools to execute and then benchmark the results. And, of course, as with all things in life and in business, starting the process again, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So everyone out there, you are listening to Radio Sandy Springs here locally on AM 1620 on your dial, and streaming live on the internet at RadioSandySprings.com. You are listening to the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs, and I'm Barbara Giamonco, the Chief Talent Officer of Talent Builders, hosting the program each week. Today, my guest is Marianne McElraith with Maximum Potential, and we are talking about this methodology called REM Leadership. So be sure to join us after the break, and we'll continue our discussion. Welcome back to the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs, AM 1620 on your dial and streaming live over the internet at www.radiosandysprings.com. A special welcome to our international listeners out there. I know we've got folks listening in Italy, Puerto Rico, New York, Miami, and of course, right here in my own backyard in the Atlanta metro area. I am Barbara Giammanco, the Chief Talent Officer of Talent Builders and the host of the weekly program. And today my guest is Mary Ann McElraith with Maximum Potential. We are talking about a methodology that she developed and copyrighted called REM Leadership. So, Mary Ann, before the break, we were talking about, we were about to move to the last two components of the REM methodology. And the next one is Circle of Influence. So talk about that as a component of this leadership methodology.
It's critical. Circle of influence is critical to your success and happiness. And it circles back to the first component, because you are the major influence within your own life. You are number one in driving your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's so important for us to know who we are, what controls us, what controls our state. How do we stay in peak performance? What are our rules, beliefs, values? What are our triggers, our positive, our negative triggers? So number one is yourself. Then you have your family. And your family, I mean, when you walk in the door at night and it's been a long day and, you know, maybe the significant other has been home all day, there's certain triggers that happen. So it's to be aware of what they are. And how we have also a major impact on the people in our life and how they contribute to our success and potentially to our failure.
Well, I was just wondering about that because, you know, sometimes we can get into a situation, I think, where we have toxic people around us both personally and professionally. So, you know, how do you recommend that people deal with that? Because, yeah, the people around you and in your life can really make the difference between being very successful and looking at life in a positive, healthy way versus perhaps getting caught up in negativity and gossip and so on. What do you think about that?
You know, that's a great question. I think that once you live by a role model for the people in your sphere of influence and become a role model of peace and goodness and positive energy, then, you know, we need to start with ourselves and it can reflect back. And, you know, I'm a believer in mentoring and coaching.
Sure.
You know, your entire sphere, whether it's your friends, your family, your colleagues, even your spiritual leaders, your vendors, your consultants, your industry analysts, the associations you belong to. We've got to start with us first. And then ensure, like you said, to make sure that the people in our sphere are propelling us in the right direction.
And likewise, you know, we're doing the same for them.
What I tell children all the time. It's really important. Your friends and who you associate with will dictate what will happen in your life if you're not a leader.
I think that's a really important point, and I also love that you highlighted how important it is to model positive behavior and positive attitude for others. And I think that is I personally believe that that is a critical component for great leadership. If leaders want to see some good positive energy and productivity and profits happening, I think it starts with them, and they need to model behaviors that set the foundation for that sort of thing. So let's go ahead and wrap up then with the fourth component of the rapid engineered mind philosophy, which is taking that vision and putting it into action. Why is it so important? Can't I just have a vision?
Well, that's exactly what happened in the United States in the 80s when we stripped out middle management because we downsized. And what happened was we had all the C-levels that had vision, and then we had the lower tier employee that were that people that could execute, and we stripped out the strategy people, the directors, the mid-level management. The fourth component, REM says it's a must to actually document this, and I call it a strategic measurement matrix. Identify the strategy for your life. Again, going back to all the ports, what's the strategy for your family? Do you have a strategy for your family? Do you have a strategy for your business? Do you have a strategy for your health? And then drill that down into what I call a project objective matrix, which drills down in detail for each of the different strategies you have for the port. Now, this takes work.
Yes, it does. And that's a great point, right? It does take work. So you've got this vision. That's the first step. Then you need to actually put a plan in place, right? So I have a plan. Now what?
Well, it's very important to benchmark. And not put the plan inside the desk.
And that happens all the time, doesn't it? That we write these fancy plans and then they go in the desk drawer and you never see them again.
Exactly. And it has to be not only for our business, because that's what has happened for years and years. I mean, people will focus just on their business and then our life gets out of balance. So REM is about the balanced dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
This is a dashboard for your life. And it's critical. If you want your business to be profitable and successful, you must take into account all the ports of your life. Because once you do that, then you really start building momentum in your sphere of influence.
Now, how important is it, as you're creating this model and you're looking at the different ports of your life, how important do you think it is, Marianne, to align those different ports of your life with the things that you really value most?
Excellent question. First component talks about your rules, beliefs, and values.
Absolutely. So it is important, don't you think? I mean, I've had this discussion actually with other leaders like yourself on the program, talking about how important it is to be clear on what we value and making sure that wherever we are, whether it's in our business or involved in personal relationships, that we are aligning our values with those other things.
You're excellent at that. I mean, you're constantly giving back to the community. You left you're a major executive for one of the top companies in our world. And you followed your dreams. You know, you didn't let fear, you know, and you're constantly giving back. We can't always take from the world.
No, we can't always take by, and what I kind of think of that as sort of the servant leadership model, in a way that really our job as leaders is to give back, whether it's internal or external to the company, and certainly that should play out in our families and our spiritual life and all those other areas of our life. So, Marianne, we are going to take another quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment to continue our discussion. You are listening to the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs, streaming live on the internet at RadioSandySprings.com. I am Barbara Giammanco, the Chief Talent Officer with Talent Builders, hosting the program each week, and my guest is Marianne McElraith. She's the CEO of Maximum Potential, and we're talking about REM leadership, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs, also streaming live on the internet at RadioSandySprings.com. I'm Barbara Giammanco with Talent Builders, and it's my pleasure to host the program each week as we talk about business topics and trends. And today, my guest is Marianne McElraith. She is the founder and CEO of Maximum Potential, and we are talking about REM leadership. It's a methodology for helping you to really create and act on your dreams, both personally and professionally. So Marianne, we've talked about the components of REM, and so let's start talking about those internal driving forces, those things that move us forward, both as people and in business. Talk about some of those internal driving forces.
Okay, so let's look at what drives an organization first.
Sure.
And you know what? I never want to be naive to that. I'm very much, you know, we need to focus on the people. What drives an organization is profit.
Absolutely.
Because if there's no profit, then we have no organization. So that's what drives. If we have profit, then people want to invest, and we have shareholders, and they buy stock, and that's what happens. So we need to have a profitable. That's what drives the organization. You know, what is at the heart of the organization that is going to make it profitable are the people.
Absolutely.
And it's the spirit of the organization. One of my most favorite mentors, Dave Duffield, when he started PeopleSoft, the company had spirit. And internally, they were raving fans about their own company. They believed in their products. They believed in the customer. they believed in each other. And they were a team. They were like a family. We need to create that spirit, that passion within our companies. We have to have a shared vision, a shared leadership, and then we'll share in success.
Well, so let's talk about the shared vision and the shared leadership and the shared success. I mean, as I think there would be a lot of people probably sitting out there who are maybe working for organizations who they're not completely happy with. And you know, it's all well and good to say, well, sure, let's have a shared vision and we share in the success. And is that really true? Do people often get the opportunity to share in that success? Or is it just a few select folks up at the top?
I think it goes back to, you know, the first component of REM, leadership, which speaks to communicate.
Mm.
If you're in a company and you're not happy, rather than giving up, speak to your manager and have an open dialogue. And it's important for management to know their employees. We as managers have accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And we as managers have to step up. And we've been given that. We've been given that blessing, if you will, to manage people. They're like, if you have a family and you've been given children, that's an accountability. If you're a manager in an organization and you have people, you have an accountability to make them better.
Absolutely. And Marianne, I would also suggest that it's a shared partnership between the employee and the employer. I mean, employees shouldn't sit around waiting for management to do everything either. I mean, you know, I think it is important if you're seeing something not working in the organization or you're not happy with what's happening in the business, then it is important to speak up and to participate and to, how about this, offer solutions versus just complaints about what's not working.
Excellent point. The quality of our communications, if we're an employee and we're going to our manager, you hit the nail on the head. You know, don't put the monkey, remember Unk and the monkey?
Oh,
don't,
yeah.
Unky on the manager. Go in with a solution or what you think may be a solution and have an open dialogue.
Now we know, so you've articulated it so well, and I think it is okay for, I mean, businesses are in business to make profit, let's face it. And the business does run, with people in the organization. So it's how we create an environment, I think, that really ignites that passion and spirit and gets people excited about wanting to make contributions in the business. So let's talk about some of the triggers that you've touched on it slightly, but let's talk about some of the triggers that drive behavior, either positive or negative.
Well, a trigger could be anything from a look. A trigger could be words, the words that we use. It could be our voice, our tone, our tempo. It could be if you're a salesperson and the prospective customer says no, that could be a negative trigger. You know, I was with 30 of the top salespeople just a week and a half ago, and most of them go, hey, I'm just closer to a yes. So trigger, it depends. That's why it's very important for us to understand what triggers us.
I think that is a really great point, especially as you mentioned that, you know, top salespeople, they say, well, I'm just closer to yes, or, you know, what you're talking about is they just have a different perspective. They don't take it personally. They look for the bright spot, the positive side of it, and they decide to move on. I'm not big on sports metaphors, but I did one movie I happened to like a lot, was Al Pacino was in it, and it was, you know, on any given Sunday, right? And one of the things that he would say is, on any given Sunday, the game could go one way or the other, and that's the way I've always felt about it too. Just because you didn't get your yes at the moment doesn't mean that it's never going to come, right? So you take a step back and you look at what's positive in the situation and evaluate maybe what you could have done better, and then you make a commitment to do that, and you keep a great attitude and you move ahead.
You know, you're absolutely right. You know, I go, and there's some clients that I work with, and vendors, software vendors, you go in and they're hugging. You know, they hug their customers.
I think that's great. I actually met with a gal yesterday who owns her own PO firm here in Atlanta, and we had never met before, and she was just a delightful woman. And at the end, you know, we're walking out, and I thanked her for breakfast and everything. She gave me a big hug. I thought it was fabulous. I loved it.
Well, that's a trigger. That's, you know, but it's important to do these things unconsciously. You're not doing them, you know, to manipulate. You know, they have to come from the spirit. They have to come from the heart. And we went to Puerto Rico a couple of weeks ago, and another phenomenal mentor of mine, Juan Arbello, he's an executive at Oracle, and his people said, "Did you teach him how to hug?" I said, "No, it just goes way back." You watch him walk in, his customers hug him. They love to see him. And that's a trigger. And he doesn't do it intentionally. He actually loves his customers. Well, we have to love our customers.
And I think that's...
We want our customers to be successful. We want the leadership within our customers to be successful. We want their profits to be successful. You know, customers see that. They know that. They feel it.
And they feel the sincerity behind it, which you mentioned earlier, and I think that's certainly a critical component. So we are going to take another quick break and come back and continue our discussion with Marianne McElraith, who is with Maximum Potential. I'm Barb Giammanco with Talent Builders hosting the program. This is the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs and streaming live over the Internet at www.radiosandysprings.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs. I'm Barb Giammanco, the Chief Talent Officer of Talent Builders and the host of the weekly program. Today my guest is Marianne McElraith with Maximum Potential, and we are talking about a methodology called REM Leadership. And again, I'd really like to thank my special international listeners from Italy, Puerto Rico. We've got folks in New York, Miami, and of course here in the local Atlanta metro area. I think I've probably got some buddies up in Seattle listening to today also, so we're having a great time having a conversation about REM leadership. So, Marianne, we were talking about triggers, and one of the things I'd like to just put out there to the audience is that, you know, any of these things take a little bit of thought, and it takes putting some things into action. So I'd ask everybody out there to just take a quick second and think about the things and write them down. Write down a couple of things that you think drives your behavior every single day. What are some of the things that trigger you? So I think it'd be really fun. Maybe after the show, people could send us an email and tell us some of the things that they were thinking about. What do you think, Marianne?
It's great. Knowing what makes us passionate and what makes us hungry in life, write it down and write what's going to make you wake up every day and live your dream.
Yeah, I think that's great. Now, one of the things that I always find fascinating about this sort of thing, and one of the questions I would pose to you is, do you really think people can change?
Absolutely.
Tell me why you think so.
People want to change. Everyone wants to, you know, grow and feel good about themselves. We don't want to feel stuck in a rut. You know, people in organizations don't know how to change, and I call it transformation. And I think in anything, once people are educated and how to do that, that, you know, it eliminates the fear. Just like anything, if you want someone to, you know, buy your product, or you want your child to do something, you know, and they're not understanding, that's why they're not changing. Once they understand how easy and what the benefits are, you know, then they're willing to take the risk.
That's very interesting. Now, you talked earlier about how this study was done where, you know, people are imagining themselves in their rocking chair in their 70s, 80s. And in my case, I plan to live to well past 100, so I've got a ways to go before I hit that rocking chair. But, you know, people thinking about, I wish I would have. Well, I want to encourage our listeners to write down whatever that is and take a look at your list and make a commitment to yourself to do it now. Don't have this long wish list of things you wish you had done in life. Write them down and do it now. Don't you think so, Marianne?
And then commit, you know, publicly commit. You know, another major mentor is Tony Robbins.
Right.
Yeah, publicly commit. And that puts you on the line. Get a mentor and get a coach, you know, so you're not overwhelmed with how do I execute. And I think that's important. I think companies need to step up. I think companies need to step up and provide coaching programs and programs to take their employees to the next level. That's their major asset. We spend a phenomenal amount of money on developing our products, our buildings, our furniture, courting our clients. We need to make the investment, and I strongly encourage the management team here that's listening to make the investment in your employees. The dividends in ROI will be phenomenal.
Absolutely. I mean, it's as we've talked about in prior programs, and of course the whole philosophy behind the work that we do at Talent Builders is that you start by hiring the right person for the right role the very first time, and then after that you do need to invest in ongoing development and help people to grow their skills, both personally and professionally. And I do also want to add that I do believe it's also up to employees to make a commitment and do things for themselves also. It shouldn't always be about just the employer. But to do that, to make that investment, certainly means you are going to retain top talent, which is a competitive advantage. And people who feel like their employers are investing in their development are really going to be, I think, more bought into the vision and want to do the right things for the business because they feel like it is a partnership between themselves and their employer, which I think is really great. Now, why do you think it is, Marianne, that it's so important for an organization to have such to have a step-by-step process for proceeding down this path of REM leadership? Can't they just put their vision into action without any kind of methodology?
You know what? And that's what happened with, you know, the .com.
Right.
Went out there, had beautiful vision. We had all these .com companies, and there was, you know, a plan and a process and a discipline methodology provides us the ability to look at the dashboard, you know, and monitor what is going on and provide, you know, like if you want to go and get in the car and go to Hawaii, well, guess what? You can't get to Hawaii in a car.
Well, you could try, but I don't think you're going to get very far.
That's why it's important when you have a vision to put it into a strategy. Take the strategy and put it into projects. It could be projects for product development, projects for employee development, projects for profitability. Many different projects. They have to follow. It's like your body. If you want a great body, you're going to follow a process. That's going to zero in on exactly the areas that you want to target. And the benefit is that you're going to get rapid results. Our industry in the United States, around the world, a business is changing faster than ever. And we must, it's not a maybe, we must take action at a much more rapid pace than we have in the past.
Absolutely. And then as a result of taking that action, the other thing that I love about what we've already talked about is that now you need to benchmark the results, right? Why is that so important?
I mean, first of all, one of the things on in the benchmarking process is when we started the strategy, we identified certain goals, and we want to go back and benchmark how we met to those goals. We want to celebrate. We want to recognize the employees. And we want to take a look at how we can, when we circle back around this process, how can we do it better and faster with a lower cost?
Well, I'm really glad that you mentioned that, and because it is important to assess results and take a look at things that worked or maybe didn't work. I think I saw this a lot, you know, in my career in sales, that often people don't, they want to look at the successes, they want to celebrate the successes, and absolutely we must do that. It's very important. It's also important to look at things that didn't work well, and it's fascinating to me that sometimes people don't want to look at that, and if you don't know what didn't work, how do you know you're just not going to go off and repeat the same mistakes all over again if you didn't pay attention to what both worked and didn't work? So I think that's a very important point. And Marianne, we do need to take another quick break, so we'll come back in a minute and continue our discussion about REM leadership and the work that you're doing. Folks, you are listening to the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs, AM 1620 on the dial and on the internet at RadioSandySprings.com. I'm Barbara Giamonco with Talent Builders, and it's my pleasure to host the program each week. And I'm talking with Marianne McElraith, who is the CEO of Maximum Potential, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to the Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs. I'm Barbara Giammanco, the Chief Talent Officer at Talent Builders and the host of the weekly program. Today, we're having a great discussion. My guest is Marianne McElraith. She is the CEO of Maximum Potential, and we're talking about a methodology that she actually authored and copyrighted, which is REM Leadership. It's a pure leadership methodology that does allow people to map out and execute on their dreams, both personally and professionally. So, Marianne, before the break, we were talking about how important it is to benchmark results as part of the process. And so I think that's really tremendous. So what does an organization actually receive in terms of benefits from putting REM into place?
The organization, well, number one, again, what drives the organization is profit.
Yeah.
They're going to be more profitable. They're going to be more profitable. Their people are going to be empowered to collaborate at multiple levels to be their best, and it's going to come and really make a difference for the employee. And the employee is going to be able to take the information out into their personal life, which is important.
And what I love about this is that it's just a reminder to all of us that, you know, people do have lives. And so when they come to work, it's the whole person who's coming to work. And there, you do kind of transition back and forth into all these different ports, as you call them. You know, we do have different facets of our life. It's not you walk into the business and you check your personal life or your spiritual life or whatever else might be going on for you. You know, a whole person comes to work. So it is important to really help the individual be successful, and of course then the company benefits as well. So what is so different, do you think, Marianne, about this methodology versus all kinds of other claims out there made about how to help companies be more productive and profitable?
Simple. It's the same question the executives at Disney asked me. What's so different?
Right.
And it's simple. It's a process. It's a discipline process that's simple for the organization to embrace. And it's proven. It's proven to increase profit, enhance quality, and get an organization pulled together with a spirit of oneness in the shared leadership, shared vision model.
I think that's really terrific. Yeah, it's a disciplined process, which is important. It's one thing to come in and talk about these philosophies. It's another to come in and really put things into action and then benchmark and evaluate results. So a disciplined process that's proven, which is really fantastic. So, Marianne, you also said something earlier in the program that I just sort of made a mental note about. What do you think separates the extraordinary leader from the mediocre?
What an excellent question. You know what? I think fear is something that they embrace differently. You know, I look at mentors like the Dave Duffields and some other incredible leaders, and it wasn't about them. Even our great spiritual leaders, it really wasn't about them.
Right.
It was about making a difference in the way the world did business. Or was making a difference in the way, you know, people can enhance their lives. And I think if we could tuck that away, and that's what I've noticed about, you know, the Tony Robbins, the Jim Rowans, the Juan Abellos, all these leaders that, you know, are successful. In a lot of the cases, it really wasn't about them. And I also noted that balance is very important to these people as well. You know, they're good to their community. They contribute to their community. They provide. Look at the head of Microsoft. I mean, Bill Gates, a major donator. You know, we have to give back. Dave Duffield, when he started out, he actually bought $10,000 worth of stock in each of his clients.
Right, so he really supports what his clients are doing as well. Hey, so listen, Marianne, this is kind of fun. We've actually got a question that's come in from a listener over email, so let's see what you think about this. We talked earlier about buying into that shared vision, and we started to explore it a little bit. So our listener says, hey, I can believe in the CEO's vision, and I can see progress being made on those goals, yet I still work in a very dysfunctional organization that is struggling with supporting those overall goals. So how does the REM framework help in resolving those types of situations? I think it's a great question. What do you think?
Thank you for asking that. I couldn't have paid someone to ask that question. There's a model that's called the executive JAD, the Joint Application Design.
Mm-hmm.
It's the executive taking the vision, sitting down at a round table, and actually mapping out that vision with strategy and getting input from all the different, knowledge workers within those certain areas, and then drilling it down.
Right.
So people have input, and the people that are on the line know the job better than the C-levels.
Right.
They're doing it.
Right. Well, and of course,
you need to embrace them and communicate.
And what ends up happening, I think, and what our listener is telling us, though, is that, yes, we have these broad goals set forth by the leadership, and then what starts to happen is that at the individual operational level, the goals of the smaller groups start to be in conflict, I think, with the overall goals of the organization, perhaps due to personal agendas. So it is a really fabulous question. So, we're coming to the end of the program, unfortunately. I think it's been a super discussion about the REM framework and what it can do to really help create a shared vision and put that shared vision into action, and of course benchmarking those results. Our writer also says that he agrees that it is important for employees to be responsible for making a contribution and not waiting around for management also. So that's some good positive feedback for us. So for those of you who are out listening, if you've been writing down some of these things that are important to you in terms of what triggers you and what are some of the things on your wish list that you'd like to get done for yourself, please send an email to me, Barb Giamanco, GiaBarb@talentbuildersinc.com, or you can send an email to Mary. Marianne, what's your email address?
It's Marianne, MARYANN, at maximum-potential.com.
And feel free to give us a call. For those of you who'd like to call and talk to me more about being on the show as a guest, perhaps, or suggesting a business topic for the forum, please give me a call, Barb Giamanco, at Talent Builders, 404-459-4030. If you have more questions for Mary Ann about the REM methodology, please visit her website at www.maximum-potential.com or give her a call at 305-672-1190. Mary Ann, it's been a pleasure to have you on the Executive Business Forum today. Thank you for joining me.
Barbara, thank you. It was my honor, and I wish everyone that they live their dream with passion.
Well, I think so, too. So we're on a mission, right? We're on a mission to ignite passion and purpose and excitement. I want to see that put back into the business. So thanks for all of you out there who have been listening. Thanks to our listener who sent in his feedback and a question. Really appreciate that. You are listening to the weekly Executive Business Forum here on Radio Sandy Springs, streaming live over the Internet at www.radiosandysprings.com. Don't forget, if you've missed a broadcast, you can listen to the broadcast at the Talent Builders website, which is www.talentbuildersinc.com. I'm Barbara Giamanco, hosting the program each week. Tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern next week when we talk about generations at work. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.